Isaiah chapter 17 and 18, these are God's words. The burden against Damascus, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says Yahweh of hosts. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. It shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain and reaps the heads of his arm. It shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim, yet gleaning grapes will be left in it. Like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three olives at the top of the uttermost bough, four or five in its most fruitful branches, says Yahweh, God of Israel. In that day a man will look to his Maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day his strong cities will be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore you will plant pleasant plants, and set out foreign seedlings. In the day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of mighty waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away, and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. Woe to the land shrouded with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on water, saying, go, swift messengers, to a nation long and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. When he blows a trumpet, you hear it. For so Yahweh said to me, I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place, like clear heat in the sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he will both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prey, and for the beasts of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. In that time, a present will be brought to Yahweh of hosts, from a people of tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible, and from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of Yahweh of hosts, to Mount Zion. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Chapter 17 begins as the burden against Damascus, which is the capital city of Syria, still to this day, even. But we realize that it's really about the folly of Israel and the folly of nations putting their hope in one another instead of putting their hope in the Lord. And you see the mixture of Ephraim and Israel, two names for the northern kingdom, with Syria and its capital city, Damascus. In verse 3, God is punishing his people, and to throw your lot in with them as they are being punished is to volunteer for punishment with them. And yet the Lord is merciful. Even when he causes devastation that is like harvesting or gleaning, you notice he leaves them a small remnant in verse 6. It's very small. The emphasis is on its smallness. Its most fruitful branch has four or five olives in this olive tree image in verse 6. And yet you see that God leaving them the remnant in verse 6 is definitely in mercy. Because look at what he describes spiritually of the remnant in verses 7 and 8, that God will use the chastening to turn the remnant of Israel from their idols. And yet, it will be a severe chastening, and many will be lost physically and spiritually in this judgment, because, verse 10, they have forgotten the God of their salvation and not been mindful of the rock of their stronghold. Now, that's a strong rebuke to us, isn't it? Don't we find ourselves very forgetful of God, even during our days? We worship together. We hear the good word of God. We call upon his name together. We sing the praises that he himself has put in our mouths, and how easily we become forgetful of him and unmindful of him, even in the rest of our day. And so it's a mercy to us that we see here that we serve a God who is merciful even to some such sinners, and we cry out to him to be merciful. Praise God, he's given us Christ through whom to cry out, and we cling to him. And then we see it is a mercy in verse 10 and verse 11, that, well, the second half of verse 10 and verse 11, that he doesn't allow their forgetful of God plans to flourish. Their harvest is a heap of ruins in a day of grief and desperate sorrow. And it's a mercy of God to us when we're forgetful of him. And he doesn't allow it to us to prosper, lest we come to a place of pride and arrogance in which we don't feel our need for him anymore. And so may the Lord grant to us repentance, to be mindful of him. Indeed, his power is so great. You have this this worldwide alliance in verses 12 through 14, and just like we see in the final great worldwide alliance in the book of Revelation, and the Lord Jesus casts Satan, casts the beasts into the lake of fire, and the rest he destroys with the sword that comes from his mouth. So also here you have the nations rushing and roaring like mighty waters, and God speaks a rebuke, and they all get driven away like chaff. One word, just one word, like we see in Psalm 46 and other places as well. Praise God. And this is pictured another way for us in chapter 18, where at the beginning of this worldwide coalition, there is the ambassadors that go to a nation, and the nation is described as beyond Ethiopia. And then in verse 2, you see the some interpretive translation. It's go to a nation that is long and polished. And I think the idea in translation is of long standing and highly skilled. But they choose to say tall and smooth of skin. They're trying to imply that it is Ethiopia, since the nation is from beyond Ethiopia. Either way, the whole sense of the text is they're trying to get the most powerful allies that they can. So you have this great big international coalition that the nation beyond Ethiopia in verse 1 has assembled for themselves, but then the coalition is waiting in verse 3. All the inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth and they're arranging, and there's the banners and the trumpets, and they're waiting for battle. And the picture in verse 4 is of the Lord like a great warrior just enjoying his afternoon out on his porch, watching things happen, waiting for just the right moment. And that's the point of verse 5. The Lord biding his time and picking just the right moment when he is going to act. And then suddenly when he acts, the verse 6 aftermath is there. This whole worldwide coalition is gone, and the animals are having their feast. And then you have a different worldwide coalition, verse 7. It's the same. The Lord is taking people from the same people, the long-standing and polished, from a people who are terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down. It's whose land the rivers divide. Same description as in verse 2, but the Lord is taking him ever he will. And he is not sending presents to them so that they will come into alliance with him. They are bringing tribute because he has raided their kingdom to take for himself subjects. And so there's these competing worldwide coalitions, a worldwide coalition of war against God. And then this, the Lord assembling for himself a people whom he takes as subjects from the whole world. And indeed, he is doing so in his mercy as the gospel goes out, and he takes subjects for himself, and they all come to the place of the name of Yahweh of hosts, to Mount Zion. This the Lord is still doing. We rejoice when he takes us. We pray for him to finish taking others. We are ashamed of all of our hope in man and all of our esteem of man over against God, all of whom banded together cannot stand up to one word of rebuke from the living God. And yet he speaks not only rebuke but mercy as he gathers to himself a people of his own. And may he gather us with all of his elect. May he grant to us not to be forgetful of him or unmindful of him like Israel was and required chastening, but to remember him, to know him in all that we do. The Lord grant to you, my dear family, to know him in all that you do today and for the rest of your lives, and then, of course, forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless this household with the knowledge of you, that you would not allow us to live unmindfully of you or put our hope in our tactics or put our hope in others. Grant that we would neither serve ourselves ultimately, nor the purposes of anyone else ultimately, but that you would be our master and that all service would be under you. Give us, O Lord, not to be afraid of your enemies conspiring against you, knowing that you are unafraid and will act at just the right time, and that one word shall destroy all of your enemies. We thank you for your mercy, that even when we are your enemies, Christ died for us, and that you have decided to show your love this way. Make us to know your love and to love you with all our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.